From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're approaching the time of year when traveling is at its busiest. Almost everyone takes to the roads, rails, and skies to get to their destination for the Thanksgiving holiday. But things are shaping up a little differently this year amid the government shutdown, which ended last night. Money will soon be flowing from the government again, but we're not expecting to see immediate improvements in air travel. And that's mostly because air traffic controllers have missed two consecutive paychecks and have increasingly been calling in sick. In response, the U.S. Department of Transportation has restricted flight capacity at 40 high-traffic airports, including O'Hare and Midway in Chicago. It started at a 4% reduction. The number rose to 6% on Tuesday and is supposed to go to 8% today. That may not sound like a lot, but it's meant the cancellation of more than 10,000 flights since Sunday. We asked members of our texting group if their air travel has been affected by the shutdown. We heard from Tony in Champaign, who said, "This is affecting my family. Some of the younger members have flights this week that they're worried about. Luckily, we are driving to Thanksgiving." We also heard from Sherry in Hayworth, who said, "We're supposed to fly for Thanksgiving. We'll drive if things don't improve drastically. While I feel for those who've been impacted by travel interruptions, I definitely feel for all the federal workers. Our civil servants have been treated horribly by this administration. They deserve better." Thank you for those messages. If you have questions or comments about your travel plans, let us know. 800-222-9455 is the number. Maybe your travel has been affected by the shutdown, or you're willing to share your Thanksgiving travel plans. And maybe if you have backup arrangements you've been thinking about because of all the disruptions, 800-222-9455 is the number. Joining us now for a better understanding of why we're in this position and what we might expect for holiday travel is Lori Garrow, a professor and aviation expert at Georgia Tech School of Civil and Environmental Engineering. Lori, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian.
Also with us with some travel tips is Mark Walters, who by day is a teaching assistant professor of business administration and the academic director of the marketing major in the Gies College of Business at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. But he also runs the travel-oriented YouTube channel Walters World. Mark, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you very much. Good to be back.
So, Lori, I'm going to start with you. As I mentioned in the introduction, there's already been a lot of reported delays and cancellations. But it all started pretty late into the shutdown. So why was it such a slow build?
Well, in part, it was a slow build because of when the air traffic controllers got paid. Their first paycheck, they received about 90% of their pay because most of that was for time worked in September. And then at the end of October, they basically had a zero paycheck. So in those situations, we tend to see the sick outs raise. And Sean Duffy, who is Secretary of Transportation, noted that about this time last week, we were seeing almost half of the delays that were happening in the air transportation system due to these ATC staffing shortages. To put it in perspective, about 5% of that, the delays occurred due to ATC staffing shortages before the shutdown.
What does that actually look like in practice when there's a staffing shortage? Do you know, if you have controllers are assigned 12 aircraft, can you just throw another six at them, or how does that work?
No, that's exactly what you don't want to do. So the way I like to think about it is that our air traffic controllers are there to keep us safe, to monitor planes in the sky. And if you have an air traffic controller who's typically watching 20 planes and a colleague calls in sick, you can't suddenly ask that controller to watch 40. Just mentally, they've done studies that basically have shown the limit at which you can start managing and watching aircraft without, getting into trouble, if that makes sense. So the only options you have is to make sure that that controller is always watching at most 20. And to do that, you put in ground delay programs. So you're basically holding aircraft on the ground to meter them before they enter the sky or enter into, an airport they're flying to. So you intentionally, if you will, cause delays to make sure that your air traffic controllers are not overloaded.
Mark Walters, so I think of you as a professional traveler. I wonder what you've experienced or at least heard or observed from others during this time.
So, like you said, there wasn't a lot of impact at the beginning because thank goodness they were still getting some payments from September. But as October went through, you started to see more and more of the delays. I flew to Savannah. My wife's flown to Italy. My kids are flying around, and we hadn't had any problems yet. However, the last week or so, that's where a lot of our fans have been reaching out about getting, delayed or sitting on the tarmac for an extra hour and a half until they could leave. And that's where people really started to see it. And then once they announced the 4% reduction and then the 6% reduction, what people don't realize is that 4% reduction doesn't sound like a lot, but the knock-on effect of that 4% reduction means probably, Ed Bastian from Delta was talking yesterday, that 4% that the government says to cut back turns out into a 10% cutback because of all the knock-on effects.
Who's on the hook when something like this happens, Mark? Do the airlines have to eat the costs if they have to, sort of reschedule people? Do people lose money on these deals?
Well, what I will say is a lot of the airlines were very understanding. For example, one of my cousins, she was flying from Peoria to Chicago to Virginia, and her Peoria flight got canceled. And when she actually drove to O'Hare and got in and went to one of the desks, was scheduled for a late night flight to DC, and she's like, "Hey, look, that flight's probably gonna get canceled. Could you put me on the flight to Richmond, Virginia instead?" At no cost, United switched her over because they know everybody's kind of suffering now. So I have seen over the years that when things like this do happen, airlines are a lot more accommodating. You might not see the same accommodation in the summer or something like that, but when the shutdown came, I was very happy to see so many airlines were really working with customers to go, free change of flights, money back if you're canceling your flights. That was really nice that the airlines were doing that. In that respect, so that was kind of nice.
So, Lori, I want to come back to you. We mentioned this idea of sick outs, right? Or people calling in sick, at least. How do you think about that? Is this sort of like a because I flight controllers are pretty limited in the sort of collective labor actions they can do. Or some of our listeners may remember the early 1980s and how that did not end well for the air traffic controllers at that time. But is this, essentially collective action, or are people really being exhausted? What do we understand about these people calling in sick?
So I don't know if we have a definitive answer on that, but one thing I will say in terms of just how far and above and beyond we expect our air traffic controllers to go is that they are subject to mandatory overtime requirements where they can be asked, for instance, to extend a shift from 8 hours to 10 or to come in and work an extra day a week. And so a lot of that is trying to provide coverage. But in my view, I don't really question the need for an air traffic controller to call out sick because when they come into work, they have to be on. We are trusting them again to be the safety line. And I don't know about you, but personally, I don't want to, be thinking that someone's coming into work that's, responsible for my fi safety doesn't want to be there. So we do tend to see sicker call out rates for pilots because again it's the same thing. We need them to be on as opposed to other job categories as well as air traffic control. So again, while we don't really know the reason, we can assume that there is extra stress that has been going on with the shutdown that would have led to some of them wanting or needing to call in sick.
No, that's a fair point. I mean, if I'm working sick, maybe the show's not as good. If you're working sick, maybe the lecture or the research is not quite where you wanted it, but no one's going to die on account of that. That's fair. There have been some though who've called these flight reductions as sort of like a political move by the Trump administration. I wonder what you think of that.
Coming from aviation, my perspective is on this is that safety comes first, politics second. And so while some may disagree with my point of view, I'm always going to err on the side that we do what is important and critical for aviation. And the other thing to remember about this shutdown versus the other shutdown is we have a lot more planes in the sky now. We've been, putting a lot more people in the air, a lot more planes. The system is more stressed than it was, let's say back in the 80s and 90s. And so we don't have as much leeway when things go wrong or air traffic controllers start calling out. We're also in a situation where out of about 13,000 air traffic controllers we have today, we're still 3,000 short. So there's not a lot of slack. So the only really options we have are to reduce the flight capacity. To again, just make sure that they're able to manage the number and volume of flights coming in.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking about travel amid the government shutdown, which of course ended yesterday, but the upcoming holiday travel season is quickly approaching. It's one of the busiest travel times of the year, and things are going to take a little bit to get back to normal. We're talking with Lori Garrow, professor and aviation expert at the Georgia Tech School of Civil and Environmental Engineering, and Mark Walters, who's a professor in the Gies College of Business, the University of Illinois, and also the host of the travel-oriented YouTube channel Walters World. We got a text, another text from John in Rockford, who says, I was wondering whether, in view of the curtailment of flights in and out of O'Hare, some airlines or perhaps air freight companies are redirecting their incoming flights to Rockford's Chicago airport. I've noticed multiple large airliners apparently coming in for a landing at RFD. Is that happening? So, Lori, I don't know if you can speak to the specifics of that, but I mean, are diversions, you know, generally part of what we're seeing these days?
So I haven't heard as much about the diversions, but Chicago O'Hare in particular has been one of the airports that has been most impacted, either, you know, because they also had weather last week. And so, like, they had a record number of cancellations and delays, almost like one out of, I think, two flights was delayed earlier this week. So it would not surprise me if there were some diversions coming in. Just because, again, the stress, particularly on O'Hare, has been particularly bad this past week.
Mark, let's turn to some of the practical effects here. What have you seen this doing to ticket prices for airlines?
Well, one of the things I think is interesting is I'm booking farther afield. Like, we're looking summer and spring of next year, and I'm seeing prices that I haven't seen for a couple of years, like how low they are. So I'm kind of happy about the future prices in terms of Thanksgiving weekend. I haven't seen the actual prices for the actual Thanksgiving week. However, I know there were a number of people that were canceling flights. And one of the big discussion points were some people were postponing travel because waiting until, you know, the shutdown was over. But a number of people are just canceling that trip and not going to go on that trip. And so there's a lot of money that kind of was going to be going to tourism that kind of has disappeared now. And so going to Thanksgiving, I think if you're going to be going, I mean, they said, after this weekend, things will be back to normal. Though with 3,000, us needing more than 3,000 more, air traffic controllers, there is still that pressure on there. But for the traditional tourist kind of things, if you're worried about Thanksgiving, I things will be back to the normal headaches of delays and cancellations that we usually have, as opposed to those enforced cancellations that we've been hearing about the last few days.
Is there a particularly good time to buy your tickets for Thanksgiving travel in particular?
It would have been a while ago.
It's like planting a tree, right? The best time was 20 like years ago. When's the second best time to buy your Thanksgiving tickets?
Exactly. One of the nice things that came from the pandemic travel and all those cancellations with COVID is a lot of the airlines maintain that you can cancel your ticket anytime and you just get the credit back. So you don't have to, if you know you're going to fly again, you have that, or some will have like price guarantees. So you can book now and you feel it's a good price for you and you see there's a better price later, you can cancel it and rebook and get that lower price, which is kind of nice. So what I tell people is if you see a price that you feel comfortable paying and you think it's good, get it, because if it drops, a lot of times you can just cancel, get the credit, book again, and then you have credit for another flight later on and you get that lower price. So that's something to look at. But if you're looking for the cheapest day to fly, actually flying on Thanksgiving Day is your cheapest day because everyone tries to get there before. And that's what's interesting. It's like if you like have that morning flight on Thanksgiving and your family does the afternoon or evening Thanksgiving meal, you could get in at a significantly lower price on that Thursday instead of flying in on Wednesday or Tuesday.
Just no margin for safety in terms of time. Lori Garrow, when do you think things might actually get back to normal, whatever that is, given the ongoing sort of secular problems we've been talking about with air travel?
Yeah, so it's always hard to predict with a crystal ball. But if you had to put me on the spot, I would say Saturday or 2 days from now. And the reason for that is that I looked at the number of cancellations. Yesterday we had 1,400. Today we had 1,250. Tomorrow, so far, only 500 flights have been canceled. And for Saturday, only 21. So I think the airlines are looking at, getting the aircraft back where they need to go. And typically, while this sounds like a large number of cancellations, this is in line with the number that typically happens if you have like a big thunderstorm roll through or hurricane. And it usually takes airlines a day or two to really get back the entire schedule, like back on track. So, historically, we're pretty good at getting things repositioned in about 2 days. So I'm going to guess by Saturday or Sunday, definitely, by early next week, before Thanksgiving for sure, we should be back on track and just worried about is the snowstorm coming in that's going to delay me.
Okay, so no, likely in your view, probably no spillover effects into the Thanksgiving travel period, though, from at least from this.
Yeah, I agree with Mark on that. I don't think there's going to be carryover effects into Thanksgiving at this point.
All right, we're going to take a break. If you want to join us today, the number is 800-222-9455. We're talking about Thanksgiving travel as well as the government shutdown, which ended last night, but how it has had some significant effects, significant cancellations of flights, especially Chicago O'Hare, also Midway. More than 10,000 nationwide, though, in the last week or so. Again, if you want to join us, 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. We're going to continue this conversation after a break. Coming up a little later in the program, we'll be moving from planes to trains and talking about the future of rail transportation in Illinois. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about travel amid the government shutdown, which ended last night, of course, and the upcoming holiday travel season, which will be upon us quite soon. The shutdown ended last night, but it's going to take at least a couple of days for flights to get back to normal. We're talking about this with Mark Walters, a professor at the University of Illinois in the Gies College of Business, but also the host of the travel-oriented YouTube channel Walter's World, and Lori Garrow, professor and aviation expert at Georgia Tech's School of Civil and Environmental Engineering. Another text message, Amy in Wakanda said, in part, flights are so expensive and travel to the border areas are so complicated that we canceled a Christmas trip to visit grandparents this year. It just wasn't going to work. If you want to share your holiday travel plans, 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. Now, Mark, how about that, right? Whether it's the government shutdown, which thankfully has ended now and things are getting back to normal, but, it could be winter weather bearing down on Chicago or a hurricane affecting one's destination. How should someone think about, whether to take a train or drive instead of flying?
Well, I always like to look at it in terms of the overall time period, because you may think, oh, driving down to Nashville from Chicago is, 8 hours, but it's a, 2 hour flight. But if you got to check in 2 hours early, if there's a delay, now it's like a 6 hour experience to getting to O'Hare from the airport. Sometimes you might wait in terms of actually it's going to be more convenient overall just to do the drive. And that's one thing I like to do when I kind of consider like visiting around the US. However, if you're going to go farther afield, that's obviously you're going to have to fly if you're going to go abroad. But a lot of times it is kind of debating that time crunch. But also I think one thing is interesting is when you're looking at your costs, if you're going to have to rent a car when you're going to go someplace, and what are the destinations I could visit on the way to kind of make it more of a adventure trip versus I'm just flying to Florida to go to Orlando. Well, I could drive down and we spend a night in Nashville and go to, have a good time there on Broadway. And then we can drive farther down, go to Atlanta and see the things that are there and then get down to Orlando. That can make it a lot more like manageable of a driving trip versus the flying if you're worried about that. Because if you're going to be flying around in the holidays, it is always a lot more chaotic. Give yourself more time. Whenever the airlines give you that 45 minutes or hour long connection, realize in the wintertime, you are really pushing your luck. It's better to try to give yourself a little more space, a little more time between flights versus those tight connections, because one misconnection, literally, if it's in the holiday season, everybody's traveling. There's not a lot of space to put people in like empty seats, so you might get stuck a few extra hours or an extra day or so at an airport. So be prepared, and if you're going to fly, make sure you're packing an extra pair of underwear, have your toothbrush and toothpaste, in your carry-on just in case.
I have been that guy embarrassing himself trying to run through O'Hare to catch that connecting flight downstate. Turns out the plane was delayed for an hour, so I didn't need to run. But you never know. Lori, anything you want to add to that in terms of how people should think about whether to even try to fly, given all the difficulties there can be at times?
No, I think Mark hit on most of the points that I often say. The other thing I just notice, if you are traveling, delays tend to happen later in the day, get progressively worse. So I always try to take an early morning flight when it's something important. Or again, if it's one of those longer trips, I buffer in a day. So like my colleague and I are leaving for London this evening. We have to give a workshop on Sunday. We're leaving a day early to make sure that we get there just in case anything happens. So, you know, just trying to put in that extra time, even if it's a connection or if you can, leaving out a day early, even if it's really important.
Yeah, I like that tip. So it's, you know, Thanksgiving, go the day of, don't go a day early. But if you're almost anything else, try and go a day early. Mark, any other sort of general airport, you know, flight strategies people might want to consider?
One of the things I think people forget about is when you're going, you're checking in, you're going to the gate, be kind to the people that are working at those desks, because they're not the ones that are causing the delays. They are not the ones that are choosing to give you an upgrade or not. And they're taking a lot of heat from a lot of people that are having bad days because they were running to the airport and they did miss their connection. So just pack a little patience and a little kindness when you're traveling around. It will make a huge difference to those people working at the airlines, especially the ones that weren't getting paid for a while, but just make it a better experience for everybody else and make your life a little bit easier when you're there.
Yeah. Do you have any, you have some tips for like how to thank, I don't know about an air traffic controller, but at least the, you know, flight attendants and pilots that you might encounter?
So a lot of times when we're flying international, we always go by the duty-free shop. We'll pick up like the individually wrapped chocolates and we'll, you know, one of the flight attendants will come by is like, hey, we're for you and the crew. Or when we come in some of the smaller planes, we come in, we'll give them some chocolate or something like that. And that's really appreciated, especially for those when you're flying downstate, because they don't get a lot of love. Like the people that come back from Rome, everybody's happy from their time in Rome. So they got stuff here, have this. And so they kind of forget that second flight coming down to Bloomington or Champaign or Quincy or whatever. And you get like a little like token like that really makes a difference to let them know that you care, that they're caring about your safety on the plane.
I like that. Lori, what would you have to say, you know, someone who might be still a little bit hesitant to get on a flight, either, you know, because of the shutdown or some of those bigger problems that we've talked about, the general shortage of air traffic controllers?
So again, I know that I can speak from personal experience that every once in a while I get nervous about getting on a plane. And for me, it's usually after a air traffic, you know, accident happens. And I'm just always reminding myself that air transportation is the safest mode. And while, you know, it's incredibly frustrating not to have control over, you know, let's say when you depart or how long you're sitting on the tarmac before you go off, I just always come back to the, you know, perspective or the fact that, you know, air transportation is the safest mode. And we have a lot of protocols in place to make sure it stays the safest mode. And at least for me, that's how, you know, then when I'm making the time trade-offs or looking at things, you know, that I've continued to be a pretty avid air traveler.
Yeah, especially if you're your family's primary driver, it can be nice not to have to worry about, you know, driving the whole time and the whole distance. All right.
Amen.
Well,
yeah. Amen to that.
Mark Walters is, you can find him on YouTube at Walters World, also in the Gies College of Business at the University of Illinois. Lori Garrow, you can find her at Georgia Tech School of Civil and Environmental Engineering, where she's a professor and aviation expert. Thank you both so much for sharing your knowledge and experience with us on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.